Let's take a look at the scripture readings from the book of Acts and the book of Revelations. So first, Acts 26, verse 16 to 18. I'm reading from the New King James Version. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Verse 17, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And now Revelations chapter 7, verse 9 to 12, also from New King James. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues stand before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels, verse 11, all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. To mark our missions weekend, we have a very special speaker today. Brother Simon Siao is the co-founder of Indigitus, an organization that engages and unleashes. He's going to unleash y'all today. This organization unleashes Christ believers into the digital sphere, digital missions. Brother Simon is also a digital strategist at Crew. He is passionate about bringing the unchanging gospel to a changing generation. And he loves to see lives impacted when the gospel is creatively and clearly communicated. Wow, I'm really excited to hear what he has to say and what the Lord has to say through him. So won't you join me in a warm coos welcome to Simon Siao.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Audrey. Thank you so much for inviting me to be speaking to you on this very important topic. You know, as you read the scriptures, I pray that it rings loudly in our hearts and moves us to love Jesus even more. In many ways, I believe this church here, you're already living out that Acts passage that we just read, bringing Jesus to the nations. I want to ask this question to you. If someone were to ask you, what are you living for? How would you describe it in two or three sentences? Well, Apostle Paul, besides giving the story and the context, articulates clearly his mission to King Agrippa that we just read. And what is this mission that he expressed? He said it is to open their eyes, which is to mean that they can't see. There is spiritual blindness. To turn from darkness to light. Back to where they should be, in the light, God's light. From the power of Satan to God, it's an invitation to be under new management and to receive forgiveness, a returning or a restoration of a relationship that is broken, and then to be given a place among the sanctified, which is to be received back into the family of God. I love the Message version, which makes it so vivid, and I want to let it sink in for us. It says here in verse 17, I'm sending you off to open the eyes of the outsiders so that they can see the difference between dark and light and choose light. See the difference between Satan and God and choose God. I'm sending you off to present my offer of sins forgiven and a place in the family, inviting them into the company of those who begin real living by believing in me. But reading this reminds me of a recent story of a person I met. I'll call her Kay. She has a successful career as an investment banker and probably worked with one of the best in the industry. And in her 20s, God unexpectedly drew her to Himself through a social media post. So it was just simply worship lyrics that her friend had posted. And Kay told me that it made her cry. She couldn't explain it. It was like, what's going on here? But tears began to well up in her eyes. She exclaimed, I've been looking for this person all my life. I've been looking for this person all my life. It's as if she began to see the difference between darkness and light and chose light. She accepted the forgiveness that God gave her freely, and now she's in the family. The call of God is very clear to us. Those of us who have experienced His grace and mercy, like Paul or like Kay, are to stand witness to the goodness of God in redeeming us. And then to offer this very same gift to those who desperately need it. And for that reason, I've called this sermon, Every Tongue, Tribe and Touchscreen. I love how the worship team has led us to have that revelation vision. This is the same, that all would bow and worship our Savior and God. It is this God-given mandate to go into all the world, into all our digital world, to make Him known. Well, today, more people on this planet have a mobile phone than a toothbrush. As sad as this is for health, or dental health, I hope you brush your teeth, it represents a significant opportunity. A few years ago, a Baptist missionary, Ray Davis, he wrote this article with the title, On the Cusp of a New Era of Modern Missions. So here's the gist of it. He says that the first era was to the coastlands. William Carey discovered that this little tiny tool or device provided new possibilities for reaching peoples across large bodies of water. So a movement set sail to the coastlands, 1792 to 1910. The second era was to the interior. David Livingstone famously asked, can the love of Christ not carry the missionary where the slave trade carries the trader? I shall open up a path into the interior or perish. And so, this new era to the interior was in force from 1865 to 1980. The third era beginning in 1934, to this present day, missionaries and missiologists recognized that the task was not defined by geography alone, but it's by people groups. So he goes on to say, in this quote you see here, that the fourth era is taking shape and is not driven by a compass to the coastlands, nor a move to the interior, nor an understanding of the complexity of peoples. It introduces this new dynamic unleashed by the connectivity that technology provides, which gives every disciple the opportunity to play a part in the Great Commission. The part that I pray jumps out at you is this phrase, every disciple. That's you. That's me. Every disciple of God called to this mission. We get this opportunity to play a part in God's commission. A few months ago, I had the opportunity and privilege to equip 22 young people from Bhutan in what we call a digital day of outreach. So we had a week-long training and we talked about how you can share your faith and how to have spiritual conversations online. We showed them different platforms and tools, digital tools. And then on the final night, we say, hey, let's get online. Let's get on our devices and trust God for spiritual conversations with our friends and our family. And so in spite of the rainy weather, bad connection, this is in the Himalayas, right? They shared the gospel video, a simple one, with 137 people and invited them to consider the claims of Christ. In that short hour, people responded and chatted with them. And they ended up with 34 gospel conversations. So awesome. The picture you see here is a brother and sister who were so enthusiastic. They said that they can be creatively active and sharing the gospel through various social media. They never knew it was possible. I believe we're already in that fourth era, the era of digital missions. And it's so important for you and I in the church to discover what that means for us. I'm not sure about you, but this past year has been pretty challenging, and you can even say it's been difficult and dark. And for our nation, well, notwithstanding the deaths, we also are facing many tragedies and many deaths, killings or murders, including the Sec 1 boy. It just reminds me of how broken our world is and how evil continues to wreak havoc among us. And besides this, the pandemic continues to show us that we don't have control over our lives. There's just so many uncertainties. People need hope. People need true hope that will last. As Shane Hibbs in his book, Flickering Pixels, puts it this way, Christianity is fundamentally a communication event. It is God revealing himself to the world and uses a large variety of media to accomplish that revelation. Just think for a moment, what kind of ways does God speak to us in the Bible? All kinds of ways, right? To a donkey, to stone tablets, rain, wind, prophets, angels, mighty voices, still whispers, burning bushes, and much more. No, it just goes to show that how much God truly wants to communicate with us. Then the question is, how do we then communicate this life-changing message of Christ to our world? I believe that's your question too. We are called to be salt and light. But how do we faithfully respond to that call and do it well in our changing world? As we wrestle with that question and the desire to reach every person, we need to seek a good understanding of our culture we live in. And I just want to briefly highlight two major trends that are critical for us to consider. And this not only affects the way we do life, but the way we think about faith issues. So the first is this, the culture of distraction. Here, I'm not talking about people just wasting their time, okay? I know that's happening, young and old. I'm talking about people distracting themselves so much so that they resist the things that are important to think about. So Alan Noble, in the book that I'm mentioning here, he will put it this way, is the continuous engagement in immediately gratifying activities that resist reflection and meditation. Then there is the growth of secularism. This is not referring to no beliefs. On the contrary, it is the multitude of beliefs, or you can say the contestedness of all beliefs. In other words, it's an age where all beliefs are viable or real, which means your way or my way of having human fullness or satisfaction is just as good. Can you begin to picture how troublesome that is to communicate the gospel? Alan puts it really well here in this quote. He says, distraction and secularism have shaped the way modern people tend to find or create meaning in their lives. So long as they're moving on to the next thing, we feel as if our life has some meaning or direction. Just pause for a moment and consider what kind of impact this has on us. Do you realize that it has implications both on how your message is received as well as how it's delivered? It goes both ways. Yet it is in this very context that God has called us to bring this unchanging message to our changing world. We live in such a desperate world, a world in deep need of a Savior. We all know that. And God's call for us is to bring the unchanging gospel to an unchanging generation. I'm about to go to a couple of stories, and I hope that they will inspire your and kind of pique your imagination. But before I get to those, I want to offer you a few thinking models or frameworks. The first is simply this: journey. We're all on a journey. And whether we recognize it or realize it or admit it, we are all on a search. So recognize that everyone is on a spiritual journey. We live in a pretty complex world. Everybody's on a different journey. And one simple way to kind of frame it or approach it is this scale of belief. You could say that in our digital world, we have a unique opportunity to connect with anybody that is unaware, maybe a person that is curious, a follower of Christ, or maybe someone who wants to multiply, a guide. And all of these are part of the audience that God has called us to. So let me give you an example. If somebody visits a website that you set up, or reads a blog post that you put up on social media, and if that person is curious, not necessarily curious about Jesus per se, maybe they're curious about, how is it this Christian can be so hopeful in a time that is so hopeless? Will you offer this curious person one next step to take to the right, to discover who Jesus truly is? In his blog post, Kerry Newhoff, a Christian leadership podcaster, talks about how he sees evangelism shifting. I just want to highlight two points for you. Number one is this idea that embracing the question is as important as giving an answer. I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I'm so quick to just kind of tell the person what to think, what is right. But what they really want is to be embraced, to be honored, that they even dared to ask the question. So it's not just about helping people find answers, but honoring the question and the questioner. The second is connected. Steering the conversation is better than pushing for a conclusion. We've got to listen, really listen. Kind of hold yourself back from saying, "You're wrong." You know, but steer the conversation gently and back to the truth. Because when you just say you're wrong, you ended the conversation. You slam the brakes. Kerry also pointed out the timeline for someone moving on that journey has become longer. So put that into consideration. So I want you to look at this, and I know many of you, God has placed in a place of influence. And God has also put a burden to reach maybe a specific group of people. I want you to ask these questions. Where are the people you're trying to reach? Where are they on this scale of belief? What kind of conversations are you having with them? Or more important, what kind of questions are they asking? As Christians, it's our privilege to journey with another person on that spiritual journey. See, one of the fundamental principles of mission is simply this: we go where people are. Traditional mission requires us to learn the culture, the language, and kind of be in that context. Digital mission, likewise, requires us to learn and understand how this digital culture works. And you know that when I say where people are, I'm not just referring to the geography or the location, but where they are in their hearts. What do they care about? And to learn where they are, we could start with these questions. What is on their mind these days? Is there a big question about God or spiritual things? If there is, what is it? When are they when they're struggling with life's big issues, where or who do they turn to? And is there a primary emotion they're experiencing in this pandemic season? And these are good places to start. They help you be a student of the people you're trying to reach. We need every digital idea to help us go where people are. I realize some of you are probably frantically taking some notes and maybe capturing the screenshots. You can scan this QR code or go to the link there, and we'll show it at the end as well. But here are some ways you can continue to discover more about digital missions. Well, let's start with the story. This guy, Colin LeBrose, TikTok, Well, I'm not going to ask how many of you here on TikTok, right? But this is a crazy, you know, fastest growing, you know, social media app. 2.6 billion times downloaded, more than a billion active users. If there is a place that where people are, this is clearly it. And now you ask, what does Colin do? Literally, I'm not kidding you, he picks up a Bible and he reads a verse, he shares a brief thought, 30 seconds max. Sometimes he will go straight to the camera and say, I want to pray for you. You are loved. And he just goes on in heartfelt prayer. Colin gets more than 500,000 people following him. Perhaps more impact than some of our churches. So whenever I share this, I want to make sure that, you know, we put things in perspective. I ask myself these questions. What makes this work? What's going on here? You know, why are people responding to this? And I want to ask you, what are the ideas that God are putting in your head and upon your hearts as well? So just in case we are quick to dismiss this, wait a minute, 30 seconds. How can you present any gospel message worth its salt in 30 seconds? You may be right, but let me remind you, maybe some of the people that watch Colin may never step into a church building like you and I. This could be the only slice of heaven or only experience of church they will ever have. I love it when ordinary people dream up extraordinary ideas. Here you see on the screen are just moms, not digital people, not crazy technical folks. They are just moms wanting to reach moms. And so this is a homegrown strategy to say, what could we do to engage with moms in this difficult time? And the one in the middle is, you know, an initiative by one of our church members. And she tells me that 80% of the people who come to these activities, often with their kids, are non-believers. What a great way to connect and build bridges. Missions is alive and well, definitely not on lockdown. This mom who led this, she exclaimed, you know, she said, it's like digital missions in our HDB backyard. How cool is that? Next one. A friend of mine whose day job is in PR and branding, but guess what? He loves Chinese pop music of his era, right? And he says, hey, why don't I just spin some tunes, you know, and maybe I'll get some friends online that will join me. And so he set up this YouTube channel, you know, called Yesterday Today Radio. And just to celebrate and enjoy this genre of music. A little did he know, this so-called little hobby or side project became an area of ministry. You see, during the Chinese New Year last year, you know, many people were stuck here, Malaysians especially. He said, why not we throw a Chinese reunion virtual party, right? Get together. And he discovered there were many people that were lonely and just needed community, needed friends. I'm happy to share with you that recently we heard one of them just sign up for an alpha course. And this is how simple ideas, ordinary people like you and I can say, God, you inspire me, let me step out in faith. A little further away, these are some interns of ours in a difficult space in the Middle East. And during Ramadan, they said, you know, our cousins pray and fast. We got to do the same, but we pray and fast for their salvation. And so they recruited 250 people to do that. And then they place ads on Instagram, on Facebook, on Google. And with simple things like this, want to meet the Jesus of the Bible? And people responded. It's crazy, some of the statistics there. You know, more than 1,000 people messaged in. When they do, you can tell they are really serious. And 173 people made a decision for Christ in the 28 days of their campaign. God is moving. God is moving powerfully. People who are thirsty and seeking for Him. So the pandemic has stopped a lot of our short-term mission trips. We can't travel, or not in the usual ways. How about a mission trip without any passport, ticket, or visa, right? So crew put together a digital missions trip. They call it the RED Project, which stands for reaching everyone digitally. And so I had a chance to go on one of these trips to South Thailand a couple months back with my wife and some others. So you see in the picture here are local folks, the Thai that are in South Thailand, already working the ground on four campuses. And so we couched it in a very simple way. Hey, why don't we just do cultural exchange and, you know, do fun with English or practice English? And we pick a few keywords. And why not pick faith, hope, and love, right? And then when we discuss love, hello, we can go to talk about Jesus' unconditional love. And we go in the breakout rooms, it's so natural that they want to hear each other's stories. In fact, we ask them their story. And then we get to share our testimony and tell them about Jesus. Praise Jesus for that. And then, you know, the pathway for them to continue to connect is in a social media channel that they are familiar with. One more story. This is called boiling waters, all right? Not still waters, not living waters. Funny story about how they came about, but I wouldn't have time to tell it to you here. But what they do here is use memes, okay? What you see here, for example, the one on the bottom says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want a girlfriend until I'm ready for commitment." Yes, somebody said yes. It's true, right? It's not quite quoting scripture, but I think if you get it or you kind of chuckle, you get the inside joke. That's what memes are, right? And what they do is they, through a kind of a funny way, disarm you and discuss a very important topic of love and relationships. Everybody cares about that. But we challenge them with the worldly paradigms of love and relationships and anchor them on one that is more robust and beautiful, and hope that they would come to Christ in someday. And we have many people messaging in, volunteers answering their Facebook messages with people saying, "I want to take my life, or I want to abort my baby, what should I do?" And God is using that in a powerful way. A lot of these things are energized by a local communities or around in that city, but also around the world. And this is Indigenous, a community that a global community that I had the privilege to co-found some years back. But it is to help us engage in digital missions, all the stuff you've heard so far. Empowering the church to make Jesus known everywhere. You see, in all cultures, whether from Panama, Ethiopia, or China, or Singapore, we may have a different way to engage. But digital is pretty common. Right, so what are the crazy, innovative, out-of-the-box ideas that people can think of to bring the gospel to where it's not? So one of the things that we do is what we call a hackathon. Yes, Christians can hack. Yeah, some of you are like, wait, no, we're not stealing any money, we're not breaking into any banks, but we are hacking for missions. What that means is that we come up with innovative ways to solve missional challenges. For example, how can we use technology to accelerate the translation of the Bible in some of the hard languages that's still not completed? How can we use technology to break or to prevent sex trafficking? You know, to rescue people from bondages. And those are all things that the body of Christ can come together and do it so beautifully. I want you to watch this clip and just get a sense of what this is all about. At the heart of what we do, it's about bringing the unchanging gospel to a changing world. We're here to hack for missions. What's missions? At the heart of mission, it's simply this: to go where people are. And where are people? People are here, on this little 4 to 5 or 6 inch piece of glass. The world continues to change, and we need to bring it in fresh ways and fresh, relevant ways to engage with it. Through your line of code and your writing, you are going to impact the life. Together, we get to play a part as we code and hack to bring the unchanging gospel to a changing world. And with God's empowering, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord
I guess what I want to say to you is be creative. Why? Because God said to Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he said, I have a rod, I have a stick. And he says, okay, then let's use that stick. I want to ask you, what do you have in your hand?
We sense that God is in a movement using technology to bridge global boundaries. And Digitus is that community of digitally focused individuals who are coming together and to mix with people, right, with that same passion, desire, inspired by the Holy Spirit, right, to come together to work on problems that have real world impact. How do we stand as a bulwark against things like prostitution, against things like human trafficking, against things like suicide? And that kind of impact, right, will resonate through the generations if we can come together as a community and build that digital community around us.
As I speak this weekend and next, hundreds of passionate Christ followers around the world are coming together to solve missional challenges together. And some of the partners that have been presenting the global challenges are American Bible Society, World Vision, and a group called Coalition of the Willing, trying to bring data of church plants all across the globe. So some of you might be interested to check that out, hack.indigitus.org. I want to remind us this. Sometimes when we talk about digital, we think that it's virtual, so maybe, not sure if it's really real. Behind every person is a screen. Every number has a name. Every name has a story, and every story God cares about. God has shaped that. It matters to Him. Remember this quote that I started with earlier? As I said, we all know we already live in this dynamic. But it's this phrase here that I highlighted in red that's critical. That every disciple given the opportunity to play a part in the Great Commission. I hope that jumps out at you. We need to hear this over and over again. Every Christian, a digital missionary. I hope by now you realize that this is not just for the specialists or for the clergy or for the full-time people, but it's for all of us. We play a part. It's for you. It's for me. It's for every Christian. A few years ago, I was at an Indigenous conference in Nairobi, Kenya. I remember reading this tweet by a Kenyan lady, and she, you know, sums it up really well. She expressed, God is raising a digital army. And I'm part of it. Another lady chimed in and said, called to win more souls for Christ. I pray that you see yourself as that digital army and you want to be part of it. Let me close with this story. Sarah, not her real name, is a girl from Yemen. Her first husband is from Al-Qaeda. It was a forced marriage. He's 40 years older than her. But then he later divorced her, and then her second husband is now 45 years older than her. This guy also divorced her. And now the dad is trying to force her into a third marriage. This time this guy is a killer with ISIS. He instructed her to bring more girls to send to Syria. She refused. She ran away. And in tears, you know, desperate, didn't know what to do, she searched Facebook, maybe looking for comfort or just seeking answers. And she found a friend named Millard. Millard's loving words, communicated simply but clearly in this Facebook chat message, changed Sarah's life. She wrote, let me introduce you to another man who loves you and doesn't want anything from you. You see, Millard was a volunteer with our Arab online ministry, who has already been actively posting and sharing about Jesus' love and sought opportunities to connect with people just like Sarah. That's the power of the digital space. For those like Sarah trying to find Jesus, and of course people like Millard, for you, for me, representing the church to be present and ready to listen and to point people on this journey of discovering Jesus. Now Sarah serves as a singer in a worship team just like this. in a church in Amman, Jordan. What part can we play in this? How is the Lord prompting you to be part of His mission? I'm going to read those verses that were read earlier. And as I do it, I want you to hear it as if God is saying this to you. Receive it as His commission to you. His mission given afresh to His church here at Coos. As I read it, I want you to picture Jesus, your Master, the very one who gives you life and hope, saying this to you. So whether you're on site or you're online, may I request that you stand. If you're comfortable, you can raise your hands, but I'm going to say this and hear it and receive it as from God. Acts 26, verse 17. Jesus says, I'm sending you off to open the eyes of the outsiders so that they can see the difference between dark and light and choose light. To see the difference between Satan and God and choose God. I'm sending you off to present my offer of sins forgiven and the place in the family, inviting them into the company of those who begin real living by believing in me. Lord, we receive this with joyful hearts. We thank you that you have saved us, you redeemed us to yourself. Thank you for entrusting us with this mission. Thank you for inviting us to be part of your grand plan. We don't deserve it, but you've called us and given us the privilege to play a part in the Great Commission. May you send us forth, strengthened by your Spirit, anchored upon your truths. Lord, we pray this humbly and receive this with courage. Thank you. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Come on, church. I invite you to respond as you listen to this song. Just respond to God's call upon your life.
The same.